Fifth chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Now, for time's sake, turn to the New Testament, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Man, that verse is better than tonight's verse 28. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3. Verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, or the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Revelation 22. Verse 1, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now that links it with Genesis 1:26. Let them have dominion. That's why I read that little bit. Let us make man in our image, and let them have dominion. Okay, one more. Second Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, you know what I've been reading about, the image of God. First, Genesis 1 and 26, we have this idea, the image of God presented to us. Then, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, we have the purpose. Then in 1 John chapter 3, we know that when we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There we have the image in perfection. We're waiting for that, aren't we? In Revelation 22, his name shall be in their forehead. That's identification. You can tell, you know. People told me this comment. Oh boy, you never like your father. Well, I always say the same thing. Nobody's got more right to it.
Why shouldn't I be like my father? Who's expecting to be like? Eh? Who's expect a Christian to be like if it's not like the Heavenly Father? Well, who else should it be like? Identification. You can tell who it belongs to. You know, today when you go to conferences, worldly conferences, all these kind of things, they want your name on your lapel. Mr. So-and-so. I'm so-and-so. So they didn't call you by name. We're going to have his name in our forehead. They're going to know us. I'm telling you, they're going to know us. And you know, Christian, I really believe that when the earth dwellers, I have a reason for saying it that way, when the earth dwellers see you and me, they're going to think they've seen the Lord himself. Why? Because our whole being is going to radiate the glory of God, just like the Lord on the Mount Transfiguration. Oh, yes, sir. So, Revelation 22, the image of God to perpetuity. They shall reign forever and ever unto the ages of the ages. They shall reign. You never read of anybody reigning over the Christians. We're going to reign. Nobody reigns over us. I mean, no other Christian. Now I came back to 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, here it is, can't say it too often, the glory of the Lord, what happened? It changed into the same image. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The process. So if you want, there you have it. I just wrote it down. What's it next? The image of God presented to us first in Genesis 1. Then the purpose, Romans 8:29, perfection, 1 John 3, and the perpetuity, Revelation 22, and the process, 2 Corinthians 3:18. I didn't get that just now. Don't get me wrong. I didn't just write this down off the top of my head. But it came fresh to me. I enjoyed it. And I threw out the other thing. I didn't throw it out. I'll say it some other day, because I never spoke that. This fault. Now, Christian, I like this stuff. You see, God didn't happen to make the world. Things just didn't happen to turn out this way. No. Before an angel's wing ever rustled, God had this thing all laid out. In the planning room, the board planning room of the divine thing has a whole thing there. Exactly what he wanted. And you know, the glory of it all, he included me. He included you in it. Now, that's the one I was saying. You're not just anybody. You're really somebody. What do you think, you know, what the Lord did? And he said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, let us make man in our. I'm just going to put this in now because we were talking about the Trinity here this morning. And I kind of like this. You know, Mr. Hine was telling us about the man who wants to be loved. And he mentioned the son, the family. Now, God said, let us make man. And those three is father, mother, child. They're all Adam. They're all men. In our image. We're talking about the Trinity. You have a kind of Trinity there. Because the Father represents the administration part of the Divine Trinity, represents the Father, God. And the Mother represents the love part. The Lord Jesus is the great demonstration, the expression of the love of God. It was the love of God that brought Christ down from heaven to become a man. This is for you, Joe. This is for you. This is all for you. Son of God loved me and he gave himself for me. This is all for you. He didn't need a body. But he did it for us. And the mother, the woman, represents the love. You see, the father loveth the son. And the child, of course, is the projection of the father and the mother. Right? So the child represents the other two. And the son represents the father and the mother. He's a representative. He reflects them, both. And without the three, you come to a dead end. There's a dead end street there. But they carry within themselves the potential to project the race. Eh? And God has decided to project himself by the Spirit of God. And that is why this whole tangible, material order of things, Christian, this really isn't for keeps. We're going to step out of this place. We're not going to be tied down to this earth. We're not going to be bound by the laws of nature. We're going to escape it. We're going to let loose. The shackled pair goes free, said the old poet. We're going to be free. God, when he created Adam, do you know the first thing God ever said to Adam? What was the first thing God ever said to Adam? Be fruitful and multiply. Why? Because he had made the man in his own image. Well, why multiply? To fill the earth with the image of God. And man is the glory of God. The woman is the glory of the man. And the man is the glory of Christ, and the Christ is the glory of God. So you see, what God's idea is to fill the universe with his glory. You know, God only has one interest, and that's himself. And God has one purpose, one objective, and it includes all his other objectives, and that is to redeem himself. So when God says, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, fill the earth with the glory of God, he wants to make himself known. Now, Christian, that order fails. You and I have been brought into a new creation. And we're created after the image of him who created us. And that's Christ. Christ in you. So you see, in Romans chapter 8, whom he did foreknow, when he had his eye on, in his purpose, those that love him and who are the called according to his purpose, those he knew, he determined what he was going to do with those. What's he going to do? The death time. The image of his son. Them also he did predestinate. Predestined. He decided what their destiny was going to be. What was it? Like his son, the Lord Jesus. I tell you, Christian, that is why that very concept, that idea, lifts a Christian right out of the whole world of men and makes him somebody else. You're just done to be like God's son. That's what you decide to do. Why? Why? That he might be the first one among many brothers. Hold I and the children of God. He who sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. God is never ashamed to put his name on his handiwork. Sometimes, you know, we try to do a job and we kind of stand off. You know, the thing has to do it over again. You wouldn't want anybody to see your name on that piece of working. But sometimes you do. And you don't mind saying, yeah, I made that. You know, I make a thing. I need that myself. Not ashamed to put my hand on it. My name's on that. God is never ashamed to put his name on his work. Ah, Christian, that's a marvelous thing. The day is coming. It's not far away. What's going to happen? There. What are you to think? In an atom of time, a period of time of which there can be no division. You know, we divide up into years and months and days and hours and minutes and seconds.
Oh, sure. We're going to get out of this world, and we're going to be, you won't think it's gone anywhere. You think the earth disappeared, and heaven could explode, and you never even move. And there you are in heaven. That's where it's going to be. I mean, that's how fast it's going to be. And what's the great thing about that? You'll be like him. Morally. All the tears, all the regrets, all the troubles, all the tribulations, all your arthritis and your diabetes, all gone. But all those things that we wish we'd never done, all gone. You know, that's why, Christian, the apostle said, he that hath this hope set on him, purifies him. He's coming.
Oh, you know, a lot of people have told me, and I tell them the Lord's really coming too, says, oh yeah, sure, our fathers told us that, and oh, even Paul, you know, I'm sure they were expecting the Lord to come in their day. My brother and sister, let's have a talk together sometime. I'll give you facts and figures that our forefathers knew absolutely nothing about. You know that this world, from 1980, we're in 85 already, from 1980 to 2020, 40 years, the next 40 years, and five of them already gone, within this next period, from 80 to 2020, the population of this world is going to consume as much food as has ever been eaten from the creation of Adam to 1980 AD. That's how much food is going to be eaten in the next 40 years. But all that has been eaten in 6,000 years is going to be consumed in the next 40 years. I didn't say that. That's the means we're worrying about it. The international boards of men that are worried about it, they're the ones that say that. And they're not getting out of it. They just want the world to know what's ahead of them. Our forefathers never had anything like that. I'm not going to give you any more facts and figures, but I could. Christian, Jesus is coming, and you're going to be like him. If I die, you say, well, I've got nothing to worry about in the meantime. Listen, please. You're going to take yourself to heaven with you. I think I already said that in the sermon. I say it occasionally when I think of it. You're going to take yourself to heaven with you, nobody else. And when you get to heaven, you're not going to know as much as everybody else. Oh, no, you're not. You just got to keep on learning. Sure, you'll be like Christ. But the knowledge you have gathered and the attainment, the acquirement of image to Christ likeness, Christ likeness, eh? You just got to carry on from there. What I mean is, here's the process. That's why I read that in Corinthians 3 and 18. It's very important to me because I keep trying to impress it upon my own soul. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory. It's a process. You don't become like Christ in this world. You don't become Christ-like, godless, overnight. It's a process. And it's a process that those who are going don't even notice. It's just like a child, you know. I see some of these children. Oh, you can't be. You can't be that big. Yeah. Just last year, I grew that much. But the parents didn't notice it. You know, they don't notice the daily growth. Those who are nearest don't notice it. Well, they remember they're growing all right, but they don't notice it. That's the way it should be, you know, growing in Christ. Christian, are we growing? Well, I don't know. Are you growing? Am I growing? Well, how can you tell? You can tell by what you get your eyes fixed on. I'll tell you this, you become like what you look at. And if you've got a TV, you're going to become like the TV. I'll guarantee there's not one person in this hall, if you've got a TV, I'll guarantee you don't read your Bible and pray as much as you watch the TV. And yet you expect to become more Christ-like. I never heard of anybody that's got a TV in their home that reads the Bible and prays as much as the time they spend on the TV. But this has to do with time. Yes.
gazing at that glory. And if you get that boot tube up there and you're gazing at that glory that really grabs you, this doesn't grab you. It doesn't grab you, does it? It doesn't turn you on, does it? Bobby doesn't turn you on, does it? But the TV does. The ball game does. The screen match does. I turn John. Oh, man, you're excited.
You get into this book. Seek God like we were saying this morning. I would turn you on.
You'd be thrilled. You're from your nose at that thing.
And it's probably what it's got.
That's all it is, really. Trash, trivia, trifles, trash. That's all it is. That's all man's got.
Beholding is in a glass the glory of the Lord. Sharing since the same.
Do you know any Christian at all that seems for you to be more Christ-like than you are?
I want to tell you, they weren't born with that.
I'm not even born again with it.
The head of Christ.
There's no other way.
Beholding. I tell you, when you got your eye on the glory of Christ,
there's no other glory that means anything. The things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
And Christian, the more Christ-like you can arrive at the glory, the easier it's going to be for you. I think it was mentioned in one of the conferences we did, honestly, and it must have been an ancient development or something. This Friday night at Huntsville, but it went on the call. Maybe it was true. Anyway, when somebody told Mr. Sam McEwen that Mr. George Gould Sr. had gone home, he said, well, he didn't have far to go. That's what I want to be like. And Christian, if you want to be like. Oh, Lord bless you. Lord, there's goodness. That's what God wants. And that's what He wants. That's all He wants is right down here. For you and me to be more like His Son. Right now, God help us to go in for it. It's worth it.